This is the Friday, June 24th, 2016 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. The Brexit vote and changing weather patterns pressured commodities dramatically lower. For the week, July wheat dropped 27 cents, while the nearby corn contract gave back 6 weeks of gains with a loss of 53 cents. The strength in the dollar and global uncertainty contributed to the sell-off in the soy complex as July beans sank 57 cents. July meal has dropped nearly 10% in 3 weeks, shedding $31.80 per ton. In the softs, July cotton fell 7 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, July Class 3 milk futures declined 17 cents. In the livestock sector, the August cattle contract weakened $5.85, August feeders increased $2.02, and the July lean hog contract faded $2.13. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index rocketed 123 points higher. Crude oil was poised to finish above $50 for the week for the first time in nearly a year, but that was before Brexit, and the contract closed 92 cents lower. Investors went mining for safe havens and found gold as the August COMEX price was up $27.60 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index shed 8 points to finish the week at 368.90. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Mark Gold. Welcome back, Mark.
Nice to be here again.
Well, we are excited to have you. This is a busy weekend. We're coming off a very exciting end of the week with this Brexit vote.
Well, I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning trading the markets. I haven't seen volatility like this in a long, long, maybe since September 11th. But the action, the gold up $100 at one point, closing about $50 higher. The bonds were up 8 handles, closed up about 4 handles. So we had pretty good swings in there. The dollar backed off its highs by a penny. So it was an amazing night.
Well, and as you mentioned, at around 1 o'clock Central Time, we saw beans down 25 cents. Corn was down substantially. I mean, it was everywhere last night was red ink, except for treasuries and U.S. dollar.
Yeah. But interestingly, the July wheat actually closed a half a cent higher here today.
Yeah.
So, you know, wheat's been under a lot of pressure because of the harvest and rapid harvest, the good weather out here, and plenty of good quality wheat out there. But it did close a little bit higher today.
So now, since we're talking about wheat, you say rapid harvest, big harvest. The numbers coming out of Oklahoma and Kansas are phenomenal on this winter wheat crop. Does that tell you that even though we did close a little higher, maybe there's some downside risk?
Well,
ahead of us?
You know, certainly there could be a little downside risk. We haven't gotten through the brunt of the harvest yet. So there's still some risk out there. Funds are short trying to defend their positions there in the wheat. But the fact of the matter is, we're at 9-year lows in Kansas City wheat. If you're being forced because you don't have storage or whatever reason, that you're selling wheat off the combine, we wholeheartedly recommend buying back fairly long-term call options here to replace it because these lows at harvest are fairly typical. We may make the low on July 1st, July 2nd, somewhere in there. But longer term, I think this wheat market's got a chance to bounce back. So we would be buying back calls for that.
That's on Kansas City. Would you be making similar purchases in Chicago at
this absolutely.
Point?
Absolutely. If you're selling soft wheat, we want to buy some options as well. I'd probably buy the Kansas City options because the protein wheat has a tendency to go up fastest first.
Okay. Now, as we come back to this Brexit, we've had a lot of questions this week from our viewers, and I want to just pick one. McKenna in Wayne, Nebraska is asking, is Brexit expected to affect the market long-term or short-term? This turmoil we saw Thursday night into Friday, are we going to see that for the foreseeable future?
I think we've kind of played the Brexit card for what it is. We've had other shaking events in these markets. The Swiss franc about a year and a half ago, the Swiss government lifted the restrictions on the currency. It went through the roof. It went up $25,000 a contract, like a $5 move in the beans in 1 day. And then within a couple of months, it was right back to where it was. And that was just an isolated spike up. So I don't believe that, you know, long term, the dollar is going to be a little bit friendlier, stronger, make it a little bit harder for the exports. But we've got so many other things coming up. We've got the acreage number, the stocks numbers. We've got the weather. We've had fairly decent weather, but it doesn't mean that in July we can't turn the heat on. We've seen sudden shifts in the weather. There's still at least one guy out there predicting that it can be very hot and dry in July. So we went up pretty fast. We went down pretty fast. Maybe we can go up fast again.
Okay. Technically, where do these markets sit from a commitment of traders standpoint?
Well, the funds, unfortunately, are still very long on corn and beans. They've come down. They were about 250,000 long the corn into last week. As of Wednesday night, they were long, I think it was 200,000 on Wednesday night. They probably sold about 50,000 in the last 2 days, but that still leaves them long 150,000 contracts. On the beans, Wednesday night they were long 175. Maybe they've carved that down to 140, but those are still fairly large positions, and that's still a problem for this market if the weather stays good.
Okay. On the corn market, when we look at this nearby corn crop, let's look at July contract. Old crop corn down 53 cents. A lot of producers were still sitting on old crop corn waiting for the next little bit. Yeah. Is $4? I mean, can we come back at that from 384 here in the short term on that old crop corn?
Sure. If we turn it hot and dry in July, we can do anything this market wants to do.
Okay.
You know, the last time I was here, we talked about the American farmer. We've always had at least one opportunity to market grain at profitable levels. We had this opportunity in the month of June, corn and beans, to get it done. Now, I don't know whether guys took advantage of some of the recommendations we made out here, but they had the chance. Now, they've really got to hope and pray that we do turn up the heat in July to get another chance.
Okay.
And that's really a 50-50 coin toss.
All right. Now, speaking to that, as we look at this new crop corn contract, for producers who maybe didn't make as many sales as they planned before this thing collapsed here in the last week, as they're making sales, physical sales, let's say, are you an owner in here of calls or of re-owning futures?
Yeah, absolutely, particularly before the report. And I don't want to do it the day of the report, the day before the report, because they'll build too much volatility in before that. But here on Monday, Tuesday, if you've got corn sold out here, you want to re-own it with some call options, this report could show less corn acres out there. The stocks numbers could be tight. We've had unbelievable export demand on the corn. So on this kind of a break now from 440 down to 380-something, do I want to look at buying calls to replace any grain I've sold? Absolutely. Here's a great opportunity for you.
Do you have any thoughts on this report? Any numbers rattling around in your head?
You know, I personally believe corn acres are going to be down, maybe not as much as some people think. There's even some talk of maybe a few more corn acres. I don't see that. I think we're going to lose 500,000 to 1 million acres. I think that's going to go into the beans. I think beans are going to pick up some land in the south, cotton, rice, and beans, I think, can be up 1 million to 2 million acres.
Okay. Well, let's talk soybeans. Big down week.
Yes.
Big down week. You mentioned Thursday night. We saw 25 cents off and then climbed back throughout the day on Friday and then finished still sharply lower again.
Yeah.
Where do we go in this bean market from here looking at this dollar with so much strength?
You know, frankly, the beans have had some amazing strength in here. Even though we're down $1.18, I think, off the highs, or $1.16 off the highs, we haven't collapsed this thing like we could have. Back in like 2008, we were at $10 beans. We had one rain. We were limit down. Now, granted, those were 30-cent limits back then. But we really did some quick, hard damage to the market. We saw one day where we were sharply lower. Corn was limit down that day. But the fact of the matter is this thing's been pretty orderly, and we've had rallies even on the bad days. When they put in the rain and we had all this rain in Chicago, the market started to rally. And I'm looking at, why are we rallying this bean market? But there's some independent strength out there. Even today, we were on our lows with 10 minutes to go, and we rallied at a dime. So is there something more out there? I think what the market's trying to tell us by the harder sell-off in the corn is that maybe the heat won't hit in July. It may hit in August. And obviously, we know that if we hit the beans in August, we're going to do some damage out there.
And that concern of hitting the beans with heat in August, from some of the producers I've talked to, is the specific reason for not being very aggressive on physical sales.
Right.
How does a producer handle that uncertainty for August in a year like this?
Well, you're going to be surprised when I say you should have been buying puts. You know, we had $12 beans out here, $11.80 on new crop. Not to have a put protection with the funds long as much as they were. Even if we do have a hot and dry summer and we go to $15 beans, was it worth 40 to 50 cents to protect that price? In our opinion, it was. Now guys have got a legitimate floor in. We still hope that we're going to see higher prices, but we're actually been able to roll some of these puts down already just in a week. The corn puts, we had corn calls we were able to roll up, take money out of. We moved the corn puts up, made cash sales. Now those corn puts are paying off down here, and we're rolling those down. These markets present incredible volatility and opportunities if you're willing to take advantage of it.
The market closed Nove Beans Friday at 1078.5. Yeah. Do you buy a put in here?
Yeah, only because the funds are so long.
Okay.
And you could have a bearish report on Friday. Would I spend a lot of money? Probably not. But would I do something short term to get through the next 30 to 60 days, in particular the next 30 days?
Okay.
Get you through the report, get you through the July heat if there is any. So you come out and buy a short dated or a serial option, a week for something that can protect you for that 30-day time frame. An August put will do the job. You don't have to go out to November and spend that time value.
Okay.
But I'd still spend 25, 35 cents on a bean put here.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk livestock. Friday saw the cattle on feed report. Were there any surprises that we should be aware of come market open Monday?
No, I think the bigger surprise was the Brexit effect on the market, taking the stock market down. Cattle had a tough day with that. Cash market came back a little bit on Friday. There were no real surprises, but the numbers are still big. The placements are big, on feed is big, and we're going to be seeing more and more cattle come into this market. The hope has been that the demand would offset these bigger numbers. So far, we haven't seen that, which is why we keep hitting these lows. Now, the good news is every time we've had one of these spike down lows, we've had a 10 to 13 cent rally just off of, I think, every one of them out here. So people are saying maybe the summer lows are in. We'll have to see. But the fact of the matter is you've got to look at selling rallies in this market because we do expect more animals coming, you know, for quite some time.
And are you aggressive selling as far out into the future as you can, or are you limiting it to just the next quarter? How far out would you be making sales on a rally?
Well, certainly 6 months, I think, is reasonable out here. If you've got some reason why you don't want to price cattle out that far, then again, you have to look at the options to help you. They're not particularly cheap, but there's still a lot of risk out there. The hog market's another one. Inventories were up. We keep bucking against 90 bucks on the summer month hogs. Best as I can remember, the only time we've really gone over that significantly is when we had the Ped scare. Mm-hmm. This $90 ceiling, and it's held here again. So we're at 85 roughly. Would I be buying puts on this hog market? You bet I would.
Are we going to take another run at 90, do you think, in this hog market?
I think it's as much a function of what the cattle are going to do. If the cattle continue down, it's going to be harder and harder for the hogs to maintain a rally. If we can get the cattle to have one of those $10 or $13 rallies, maybe we can get another shot even above 90 bucks again.
Okay.
In any case, buying puts makes an awful lot of sense to me here on the hogs.
Now, you touched on the hogs and pigs report. That also came out Friday. Any big surprises there?
No, pretty much on the money, a little bit bigger on the breeding, 1%, and all hogs were up 2%, I think. So we've got, it's not like we're running out of hogs out here, but we've had good demand for the pork, which is the reason we've been looking at $90 hogs out here. But as you go toward the back months in the fall, you'll notice that there's a big price discrepancy. Now, keep in mind, guys don't want to be pricing it because it's $10 and $12 under where the board is now. But the only reason we're at those kind of prices is because the nearby pulled it up. That's usually a pretty good opportunity to sell something that maybe has a higher price than really is warranted, only because of what's happening in the front months.
Now, hogs had been deriving quite a bit of support from the surprisingly strong exports that we've been seeing in the pork market. With this Brexit, with the dollar in upheaval, is that called into question?
It certainly is. I mean, that's another factor that can be a negative for all of our commodity markets if the dollar stays high. Now, could this be a one-off deal in the bonds, in the Dow, in the dollar, because of this Brexit? We've seen that before, a knee-jerk reaction, then things settle down. So I think we need to see Monday and Tuesday how we react to this. If there's more of a trend where we keep bucking higher in the dollar, then I think it's not a one-off deal that the dollar is going to hang in there with some strength.
Okay. Now, I glossed right over feeder cattle, and feeder cattle were the only market that were actually up on the week, up $2 on the week.
Cheap corn.
We did see feeders break hard with corn on Monday.
Yeah.
But now we seem to have caught back up.
Yeah.
Cheap corn's moving.
You know, I think guys look at it and say, okay, this is a good opportunity. Maybe the summer lows are here. Corn's cheap. Let's buy something. So I think we saw the funds come in. I think we saw some professional buying in here. And I think during the week we saw actually some guys buying the feeders and selling hogs against it, which put a little bit of pressure on that hog market.
Okay. Well, Mark Gold, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on this eventful weekend.
It's been quite a week. Thanks, Mike.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but Mark and I will keep the market conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, which is available on our website. And while you're there, check out the newest podcast from the producers of the program as we go beyond the headlines to hear about upcoming stories and learn more about our market analysts. Join us again next week as one group of farmers seeks to bridge the urban-rural divide with a tour of the countryside. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.